Well, happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. What a good Sunday it is. We are starting a brand new series today. It is good to be back, isn't it? I love worshiping you with you, everybody here. Man, I want to be honest. Kevin pretty much preached my whole message. So at first he was like describing, I was like, is he describing me? You know, and then he got to the crying dishes part. I was like, yep, he's definitely describing me. That was it. Now, I want to get started today. I just want to pray as we get started to go to our Father and just pray. So let's just bow our heads. Father, we thank you, God, that we get to come together, Lord, and to honor you who are our Father today. Father, as we honor all the dads here and all of those that are in the position of a father, that are a father to the fatherless, Father, we honor them, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness, and I just ask that today you would just open up our hearts. Let us see who you are. Let us see your goodness and your truth that you've shown us in your word, Father. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we are getting started with a brand new series. But before we jump into that, you know, I've been thinking about this idea of who is God. And you know what I realize is people have different views on a lot of different things. There's a lot of different views. Oh, I forgot to release the youth, didn't I? I am so out of practice. Junior high. If you're in junior high, 6th through 8th grade, boy, I tell you what, I was this close to getting it right. Been so long. 105 days since we've had children's or nursery or youth, and all the parents are rejoicing. They're like, this is what it's like to be without my kids. I remember now. So people have different views. And, you know, I think about, you know, the common phrases, well, the glass is half full or the glass is half empty. You know, I'm a glass full type of a guy. My wife loves it because everything's always the best, or I'm optimistic about the worst of things. Or there's people that the view of how the house is clean, right? Like my children, I'll be like, hey, go clean up the playroom. And I walk in and I'm like, this isn't clean. And they're like, it's totally clean. And so we'll clean up and I'll get it and I'll look back and like, now it's clean. And then my wife will walk in and she'll be like, it's not clean. And I'm like, the views are different, right? It's a very different view. Or some people have different views on whether or not they want to go skydiving or bungee jumping. Like, I'm all in. I plan on going skydiving at some point in time in my life because I think it would be fun to fall off an airplane, right? Or running. Not a runner. I don't like running. I don't find that fun. Some people do. And unless I'm getting chased, you won't see me run, right? People have different views on politics, on COVID-19. They have different views on everything that's going on in the country today. We all have different views. We have different views on church. We have different views on God. And that's really what this service and this series is all about, as we dig into who is God. Right, and if I were to ask you that question, who is God to you? Maybe there would be different views or different things would come to mind when I say that phrase. Maybe this would bring good thoughts. Maybe this would bring thoughts of disappointment, thoughts of doubt, maybe thoughts of anger, thoughts of hurt. And ultimately, we all have different views on the most important thing, and that is who is God. And that's what this series really is about. In the next few weeks, we're going to be digging in not just an understanding of who God is, but going biblically in the names of God that we see in the Bible and breaking them down to get a better understanding of exactly who our Father is. Now, I want to imagine this moment where we paint God in this picture, and what happens is in life, things, troubles, circumstances come up, and as humans, we paint them as things that God has done to us. And we kind of mess up and diminish the view of God, of who God truly is. And so if we're going to look at today the image of who God really is, and over the next few weeks, that has to come from Scripture, from exactly what Scripture says. And the truth is that man has confused, has misrepresented what and who God is. Right? And so what I want to ask you to do as we go over this series, I want to ask you, and especially today, I want you to give yourself permission to adjust your image. I want to give yourself permission to adjust how you see God, that the past is the past, the things that we think may have been God, that we wipe that clean and we look right at Scripture and we see that ultimately the truth is man has messed it up. We have confused exactly who God is. We've misrepresented who God is, all except for one man, and that is Jesus, right? Jesus came to show us who God is. He came and Jesus loved and he served and he taught truth and he listened. I love in Philippians 2, 6 through 8, it says this. It says, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. You know, I love this word equality in there. And Jesus doesn't use this equality with God as something to put himself above us. What he does is he humbles himself by coming down and living the life that we couldn't live. And he did this because he wanted to create a way for us. He did this because he loved us. Now, the Bible's very clear about what our relationship with God is, right? What is our relationship with God? And that is that he is our Father and we are his children, right? We just got out of this series, 21 Seconds to Change Your Life, on the Lord's Prayer. And if we look at that in Matthew 6, Jesus says, this is what he taught the disciples in Matthew 6. It says, our Father. Jesus didn't say, my Father. He says, our Father. That's how it starts, our Father. And what I'm trying to do and what I want for us is to have a standard in place that he is all of our Father. He's all of our fathers, and quite frankly, it breaks his heart when his kids don't respect and honor and love him in the way that he's asking us to. It hurts him, it crushes him. And we see that God, who is identified as our Father many times in Scripture, right? He shows himself as our Father over and over again. We see it in Romans 8, 15 and 17. It says, you received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Since we are his children, we are his heirs. Right, and we see another verse in 1 John 3:1. I love this one. It says, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to the world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Right, that's the thing that we have to understand is that we recognize God as our Father because we know him. Now, the word Father may be difficult for some of you. It may be difficult because it brings up different emotions, different experiences. When we think of the Father, our minds immediately go to our earthly father. What does that mean for us? For some of us, it brings warm and fun memories. For others, it brings these memories of absent fathers and these memories of rejection. But I'm here to tell you today that God is a good Father. God is the only father that we can look to as the example of what a father should be. But what does that really mean for us? What does it mean for us as God being our father? That means he is a provider. He is a guide. He is a refuge. He is with you. He is everlasting. There is no one or nothing like our God. And I need you to know the truth of what God does for us. I need you to understand the truth of what exactly it is that God does for us in our life, because we need to know that we're not just anyone to God. right? That God knows us down to the numbers of hairs on our head. He knows us, and I'm sure that we think about this, and I remember hearing that as a kid, but I don't know that anybody ever really fully grasps what that means. What does it mean to understand that God knows us in such a way that he understands and can count the number of hairs on our head? I think there's a few things that we need to understand about our good Father. The first thing that I think is important is that we need to understand that we are known by our Father. We are known by a good Father. In Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Right? God created us with his own hands. We are his masterpieces. We are known by him because we were created by him. James 1:18 says he chose to give birth to us by giving us his true word. And we, out of all creation, became his prized possession. Right? So think about where we are, his prized possessions. We are top shelf. We are the ones, the possessions that we put right there at the very top. We want everybody to see. That's what we are because we were created by him, because we are known by him. The other thing is that we are loved by a good Father. We are truly loved by a good Father. In John 3:16, it says, "For this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." Because we are loved. Romans 8:37-39, it says, "No, despite all things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love." And if you go on and continue reading into Romans 8:39, it says, "Nothing can separate us, not death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, nor fears, nor worries. Nothing can separate us from the love of a good Father." Amen. We need to know that we're called by a good Father. Again, in Ephesians 2:10, it says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do good things that he planned for us long ago." The things that he planned for us before we were even formed in our mother's wombs, before we were ever born, he created these things. He's called us to these things to be his children. We were formed with this calling in mind. John 15:16 says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may bear fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you." He chose you. He chose you. He's called you to go into this world and to do something that makes a difference in the lives of others. You have a calling on your life. A good Father calls you. You are called by this good Father. He chose you to produce lasting fruit. But you're also made new. You're made new by a good Father. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone." The new is here. You are a new creation. You have been made new by your good Father, a Father who loves you, who knows you, who calls you. And I could go on and on and on with scripture after scripture after scripture that tell you exactly what it is that God can and will do for you. But I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like reading it and experiencing it yourself. There's nothing like taking a moment and being in this moment where you see it for yourself and you experience in your own life. And I want to encourage you as we go through this journey on this series of Who is God, looking at the names of God, understanding who he is. I want to invite you to join with us and we just dig deeper and deeper into this relationship with him. Deeper into a knowledge of who he is. Because there is only one thing that can truly satisfy the human heart, and that is only given by the one who created it. And my challenge, my encouragement for you is to to get to a place where you can know God more, where you can know who He is, you can know and have a better understanding, because we all have these views of what a father is, whether positive or negative, from our past, from our experiences, we think we know what a father looks like. But the Bible shows us who our Father really is. Sometimes we have to slow down. Sometimes we have to take a breath. Sometimes we have to be still. You know, I think about my daughter, Riley. She just turned 6. And I remember the moment she was born. And I looked at her for the very first time. And my heart instantly, the only way I can explain it is my heart instantly expanded in a new realm of love that I never knew I had. Right? It just instantly was overwhelmed with that love. And then I remember her saying, "Dada," for the very first time. And I was overwhelmed with joy and excitement. Right? And I think, and I look at my daughter and my kids, and I'm like, I don't know how much I can love her. I don't know if I can love her as much as I need to. I'm so overwhelmed. I don't know if I even have the capacity. And then I remember when we found out we were going to be having another child. And I was honestly, I was worried, because I didn't feel like, I'm like, I don't even know how it's possible to love more. I feel so overwhelmed by loving my daughter. How can I even love more? Am I going to be capable? And then he was born, and my world expanded into a new love, a new level of love. And in those same moments, that first time, he said, "Dada, dada, dada." And my heart expanded the joy. And instantly, I was connected to him in a whole new way. And I think about this, and I believe that's exactly how God feels when we cry out to him. When we cry out to him and say, "Father, Abba, Father, God, I need you." When we acknowledge that he is our heavenly Father, that his world, the angels, the heavens, they celebrate for joy. He is a good Father to us. And as we take this journey together over the next few weeks, I want you to open your minds to discovering the nature of God as we explore the different names of God we see in Scripture, to allow ourselves that whatever past visions or experiences we've had of who God is in our life, that we let those fall to the side and we look at the truth that is in Scripture, that we look at the truth of who He is. I love what Bob Goff says. Says, "I think a father's job, when it's done best, is to get down on both knees, lean over his children's lives, and whisper, 'Where do you want to go?' Every day, God invites us on the same kind of adventure. It's not a trip where he sends us a rigid itinerary. He simply invites us. God asks what it is that he made us to love, what it is that captures our attention, what feeds that deep, indescribable need of our souls to experience the riches of the world that he made. And then, leaning over us, he whispers, 'Let's go do that together.'" See, this is a glimpse of who God is. We have these visions and these views and these opinions that God is this punisher, this rigid block that if we don't do it right, then he's disappointed in us. God loves us. God loves us right where we are. And the best way to understand who God is, to gain this understanding and this knowledge from Scripture of who God is. That's why I love Ephesians 1:17. This is one of my favorite verses. It says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." You know, I love breaking this verse down because there's so much inside of this. You know, I told you sometimes it's important for us to slow down. So it's important for us to just take a moment and take a breath. This word spirit in this verse literally means breath. Right? This word means the breath, the breath of God himself. The spirit of wisdom. The word wisdom is Sophia, the clarity. That God would give us clarity of who he is so that we may know him better. But see, that word know is so important. It's so important because it's not just a knowledge. This word, this know, it's the Greek is gnosko. Gnosko is this knowledge of, but it doesn't stop there. Because the word gnosko comes from epignosko. And this little addition is not just a knowledge, but it's a intimate, it's a experiential knowledge. That we would experience what it's like to have a good father. This intimate knowledge of who God is through relationship. That's what this is. That's what this moment is. And I just want to say, I believe it is time to begin this journey with a new father. The father that the Bible tells us about, not who we've built him up in our heads. Not who we believed him to be our whole life. Not who maybe we believed him to be because we didn't have a good example of a father. Maybe you're here today and you haven't had a relationship with God like I've talked about. Maybe you haven't had that relationship with God like we've talked about today. And I want to take a moment because I want you to understand this is your moment. This is your chance. This is your time. And I'm going to tell you, like any relationship, it's going to take work. It's going to take a little bit of effort. You're going to make some mistakes. But I think the best way I can help us to understand the love and the heart of our Father is this. If God had a fridge, he'd put your picture on it right at the top because he's proud of you, because you're his prized possession, because he loves you regardless of the mistakes. Regardless of whatever it is that you've done, he loves you. We have an opportunity to love him because he loved us first. You see, God is there in this moment. And maybe you're here today and you feel that deep pull, that change, that moment where you say, you know, my view of God, my view of my Father has been skewed. I've allowed my representation, my hurt, my issues to break the view of who God really is. Maybe you feel this in your heart. Maybe this is a feeling you've experienced before. Maybe you've never felt this before in your heart. And in just a moment, I want to give you an opportunity to respond. You know, we're going to take a moment in just a second and pray. I'm going to pray for you that if whatever hurt, whatever past, whatever thing that you've gone through in your life that is skewing the view of who God is, that God would wipe that clean, that he would show you the truth of who he is. But maybe you're here today and you've never actually experienced the love of God. Maybe you've never taken that step and asked Jesus into your heart. Or maybe you're here today and maybe you prayed the prayer, but you know in your heart it was an outward thing. Nothing changed on the inside. You didn't take the steps forward. You did it because of the person sitting next to you. You did it because of who brought you. You did it for whatever reason, but it was just for show. You know, I believe in this moment that God is asking all of us this question. Do you love me? Do you love me? And I think here in the South, we get this mentality of love for God that's a little bit off. Because we go, well, God, of course, I love you. Here I am. I'm here for church. I came. We're back. And he says, no. I didn't ask where you go to church. I asked, do you love me? We say, well, God, I did the Christian cruise. I went to a Christian bookstore this week. God, I've done all the right things. I didn't even eat devil's food cake. I only ate angel's food cake. And God says, no. I didn't ask what you did for me. I asked you a question. Do you love me? So do you love him? Do you love him like the father that he is? Like the father that he has been to you all this time? His father that we can get to know through this spirit of wisdom and revelation, this through clarity, through the breath of God that brings clarity in our life into this intimate, this experiential relationship with God. Do you know him? Do you love him? Maybe that question rings true for you today. And for all of us here, I want to ask that we just take a moment and I want us to consider where we're at in our lives. This is Father's Day. This is that moment where we celebrate the fathers in our life. We celebrate whether it's a biological father or somebody in our life that has taken the role of a father. But I think it's important for us to celebrate the Father. Maybe for you, this is a moment to celebrate the Father for the first time, to come home. Maybe you already know God personally. Maybe you can, you've answered that question and you say, God, I love you and you know that I love you. You know that the relationship is real. Maybe the answer to the question of love for God is evident in your life. But maybe you are challenged by that question. Maybe you're at a place in your life where you want to make a decision and you say, you know, I'm challenged by that. I don't know if I truly love God in the way that I think I need to. I want to start this journey. Maybe today you want to make the decision to begin a real relationship with God. And maybe you're at a place where you want to consider what God wants to do in your life. And that's okay. Because if you're not ready today to make that decision, if you're not at a place in your heart where you can go all in and commit all in to loving God, you see, you know, I'm still trying to check this out. I'm still trying to figure things out in my life. That's okay. I don't want to pressure you into anything. You see, I don't want to have a church that only has church people in it. And so I'm okay if you're not there yet. But I want you to continue to come, to be in relationship with us, to see who God is, who God truly is. Because there is something that drew you here, something that brought you here, and it was a purpose and a reason. And I'm going to tell you, we love you right where you are. God loves you right where you are. But if you're ready to make that decision today, if you're ready to pray that prayer, in just a moment, I'm going to give you that opportunity. And as a church, we're going to pray this together with you because you need to know you're not alone. Not only do you have a father that loves you, but you have brothers and sisters sitting right next to you that care about you, that love you, that want you to win, to be who you are called to be, to do something in this life that makes a difference. That's where we're at. Before we pray that prayer, I just want to pray over each and every one of us, that whatever vision and view of God that we have that doesn't match up and align with his word, that God would begin to break that down from our lives. Let's all go to God. Let's just pray. Father, Lord, we pray right now, Lord, that whatever view it is, whatever hurt, whatever things that have gone on in our lives, whatever experiences that we've had that have gone and jaded and misrepresented the view of what a father looks like in our life, the view of the is misrepresented of who you are in our life, Father, I ask right now in this moment that you begin to break those down, that you begin to break those away from our hearts, that we would see who you are, that we would see the truth that is shown in your word. Father, that we would not misrepresent who you are, that we would not have this wrong view of who we are, you are, God, but that we would see the truth of who you are. Now, with every head bowed and eye closed, if you're here today and you want to make that decision, if you want to take that step and say, I want to be in relationship with God, I want to be in relationship with him right now, if that's you, in just a moment, we're going to pray a prayer, and all you have to do is believe this in your heart. As a church, we're going to pray this together with you. Church, let's pray with them and say, Dear God, I need you. I need a real relationship. So today I open up my life to know you personally. I ask you to forgive me for living life my own way. I ask you, Jesus, to be the Lord of my life. I believe that you died and rose for my sins. Because of that, I put my faith in you, my trust in you, my hope in you. Thank you, Jesus, for changing my life today. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Can we celebrate as a church all those that made that decision? Church, let's stand, let's worship God, and let's thank Him for His goodness today.